Golden State Warriors with their fifth in a row. They're now 7-1 and remain perfect on the road. 5-0 on the road. As the Celtics lose their first home game of the season, their two Olympic teammates and NBA stars with much respect. This was a fun game, guys.
For some people, that was a fun game.
For the sport of basketball, Jones, I think people enjoyed it. It was a competitive ball game. You had some of the world's best on display last night at the Garden.
Yeah, no, it was a good basketball game.
Yeah.
It was a good watch. You know, it was competitive. I was saying early on in the game, I'm like, I don't know if the Warriors are going to win this game, but they're playing well. They look legit.
Yeah.
You know, Celtics were shorthanded last night, but they were favored in the game. No Jaylen Brown. They haven't had Porzingis all year. They don't need Porzingis to win a title. So they didn't need Porzingis to beat the Warriors, and I don't think they needed Brown to beat the Warriors last night. They were up 7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They were up 11 in the game. So I don't think they need that. And I think it was a well-played game and a fun game, but I don't think it was fun for Jason Tatum, and I don't think he played all that well. And it's a little past high noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We were talking about this earlier. It was a revenge game for Jason Tatum. And I feel like as a fan, you wanted something out of that game last night. You wanted a Celtics win, of course. You didn't get it. You wanted some sort of message to Steve Kerr, whether it was physically from Tatum or a glare from Tatum. He got booed at the Garden last night.
Yeah.
But you wanted like that from Kerr, which I think was a long shot. No one expected you were going to get. Or you wanted like a dynamite boom game from Jason Tatum. And you didn't get that. He barely hit the over on his scoring prop. He had one good quarter in the game last night.
It was a great quarter.
It was a very good quarter.
Yep.
He looked scared and timid to start the game, and I think it was in his head. And so I feel like as a fan, you got nothing out of that game, and I think Tatum, you know, failed the test. I do.
Yeah, we know he's not the most, you know, kind of cutthroat guy, and I always find it strange that he idolized Kobe Bryant so much, and yet he's very different on the court. They're both unbelievable players. Tatum is a top five player in the game. He is all NBA first team, kind of rolling out of bed these last few years. But, I mean, I'm not going to forget how I felt going back a couple months ago when you see the Celtics just win the title. Three of their players are going to the Olympics. Big stink about Jaylen Brown not being one of them. Okay, now you're watching the Olympics. And wait a minute, Jason Tatum can't play. Jason Tatum can't crack the lineup. And all the jokes we made at the time was, all right, well, wait till they play Steve Kerr. Wait till they play Steve Kerr.
Circle November 6th.
I did.
It's a Tatum revenge game. I did too.
100%. Now, I think a revenge game for Tatum could be 50 points and not look over at Steve Kerr once.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for another guy, it might be 30 points, but it's pointing at him and like, or glaring at him.
No,
or,
and this
or
is your point about Kobe. If Kobe got benched
made
on the Olympic team,
Kobe would have made it miserable.
He would
for
have
Steve
scored
Kerr or whoever.
I said earlier 80. That's
90.
Too high. 79. Yeah. Seven, you know, like he would have gone off. He would have gone insane.
It would have been great.
And he would have been gesturing at the coach.
Dude,
to your
I
point about
ago,
how different that would have
I remember
been.
Years ago, it sticks out in little Rich Keefe's head, where I was like probably 8-10 years old. Larry Johnson, grandma,
yep,
didn't play a lot in an all-star game. And then he vowed, whoever the coach was, he's like, I'm going to score like 100 points against you guys. And he went out there, swear to God, he like scored a bunch early and then got hurt. So I remember being disappointed because I'm like, he was going for it. He was like super aggressive. He took shots every time. And that was for not playing a lot in an all-star game. So after winning the title and being acknowledged as one of the best players in the world, I also think a sub story to that whole Olympic thing was Tatum was one of the star players willing to go the previous Olympics. Not everybody did. A lot of guys that played over him were like, oh, I'm not going. COVID, this, that, and the other thing. But Tatum went. Durant went. I think Booker and those guys.
He went. He played well. He won a gold.
And then he wasn't playing. So I certainly thought that this was going to be a bigger deal. And the fact that I know he says that it's not and it's a storyline for others. He did walk away from Steve Kerr after the game. And you're like, well, maybe he just felt bad about the loss. Well, he hugged and kissed Curry. And Derek White and Jrue Holiday, I'm sure, were also bummed about the loss, but they went over to their Team USA coach.
They dapped up Kerr, yeah.
So him storming off kind of, I think, fuels a little bit to it. And I also don't blame him for being annoyed or mad about that or wanting to make a point. And he didn't. He played kind of a Jason Tatum game, a little flip than what we've seen earlier this regular season, where he's been way more aggressive and way more effective early in games. But he did have the monster third quarter. He had 32 overall for the game. But he also had some defensive lapses in the fourth quarter where, like, I don't know where he was in his own
head.
He
completely fell asleep on the heeled three. I think he fell asleep on an earlier three, like, midway through the quarter, Curry on the left wing.
Yeah.
Where he's you left Steph Curry all alone.
Which is odd. So, yeah, a couple of just kind of falling asleep moments. And just overall, I mean, they lose the game. So there's also that part of it, because part of the revenge game is like, yeah, you play well, but then you also beat them. Especially because the Warriors are a good team. They had circled this game. Right, like they were looking at, like amazing how the roles have reversed over the last 4 years, but the Celtics are the team to beat in the NBA.
Yeah, the Warriors are now chasing you.
They're chasing you. Yeah. I mean, it's Kerr, Curry, and Green, but then it's a ton of guys that haven't won titles and a ton of guys that weren't a part of that Splash Brothers run and everything. So they had circled the Celtics game for, I mean, a different reason, but just like I thought Tatum would have circled this game. And they came in here and beat them. So, I mean, credit to the Warriors.
So, you guys can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. The Tatum revenge game didn't exactly live up to the hype.
No.
And I would just keep it to last night. This is not a big picture takeaway. The Celtics are still the title favorites. They might get Golden State in an NBA Finals, but I'm picking the Celtics. I'm not down on Tatum big picture, but last night, I think he failed the test. And I think he was scared and timid to start the game. I think he's scared and afraid to go after Steve Kerr. He wouldn't do it after the game, although, to your point, Keith, he did blow him off. Kerr was trying to go shake his hand, and Tatum kind of locked eyes and looked and went the other way while Derek White and Jrue Holiday were dapping him up, and after he had dapped up Curry. So it bothers him, but he's afraid to say it, and so that just bothers me. It doesn't mean the Celtics can't win a championship. They did last year. They can do it again. So it's not a big-picture takeaway. It's just he failed the test last night, and I think, and I know you agree, I think the Olympic thing was in his head to start, obviously.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for it, and he eventually snapped out of it. It's not like he had a 10-point game and missed a million shots. Like, he had a slow start to the game, turned it around, was a big reason why they dominated the third quarter as a team, and then had a fourth-quarter lead. And that was a game that, you know, they probably should have won, even without Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis, but they weren't able to do it, and Kerr... You know, this happens sometimes when you kind of circle a game, like as a fan even, and you're just like a big rivalry game, like, oh, this is a great opportunity to like stick it to that guy. And then the other guy actually has like a really good night, you know, and like Steve Kerr goes out there and plays 11 guys and is you know, calling all the right things.
And, I hate to say it. It was a good night for Kerr.
And like defensively, kind of, especially early, making it tough on Tatum, throwing a bunch of different guys at him. Andrew Wiggins, we know, matched up well against him in the finals a couple years ago, but Draymond Green was guarding him a lot, and you know, two guys were guarding him a lot. So, yeah, it was a good night overall for him. Frustrating for the Celtics. I mean, it's, you know, their second loss. They're not going to have a ton of losses this year, but that was frustrating because I'd hyped it up myself, and maybe Tatum didn't. I think he kind of did, but
me too.
But I certainly did.
I think Tatum did, but I only think that, and we'll play you some of his answers coming up that I think would lead you to believe it. You made a good point about him blowing off Kerr too. Like, if he doesn't care, why didn't he dap up Kerr?
Yeah,
so
that would have thrown us off the scent more.
It would have,
because I still would have been like, yeah,
me
he
too.
Cares. But if you went over there and hugged him or whatever, you'd be like, huh. But
you,
he didn't.
You hyped it. I hyped it. NBC Sports Boston hyped it. They had a promo for the game. The announcers hyped it all game on both sides. ESPN, Scal.
You see the guy sitting in the front row wearing the Team USA jerseys right next to Kerr?
Yeah, no one cared about it. No one had it circled wearing Team USA jerseys. We took phone calls on it yesterday. We took phone calls on it all summer. People cared about it until they lose the game and Tatum kind of stunk it up. And the Warriors won on the other side. And Kerr one-upped him. I mean, he did. I hate to say it. I don't like Steve Kerr.
No, I know.
But it was a good night for Kerr and a bad night for Tatum. 617-779-7937. Now, Keith, this is instructive to why I think we all know Tatum says he doesn't care and pretends he doesn't care, but I'm not buying it. You're not buying it. Make your own decision at home as you listen along. Here's Jason Tatum asked about, you know, the blowback from the Olympics and losing that game last night.
I mean, that's part of this job. That's what I've been dealing with my entire career. People want me to be, you know, louder. People want me to be meaner or whatever. One thing about Jason is, like, I'm always going to do what the f*** I want to do.
Okay, stop.
And approach.
So you...
I'm not wild about the third person. I think it...
You didn't
it
love
feels,
the third person thing there?
No, it's hard to take it seriously, for one. Anytime somebody goes third person, it seems kind of, like, either forced, and if it's not forced, it's just incredibly lame. Like, that's just how you talk. You talk in the third person. You refer to yourself by your name.
So... The third person thing is lame.
I don't like it.
I mean, at least if you're going to commit to it like Ricky Henderson and do it all the time.
Do it all the time.
Then I get it.
Yeah.
you know, what did you say earlier?
Jimmy from Seinfeld.
Thank you. Yeah. Jimmy on Seinfeld.
Jimmy likes these shoes. Jimmy's going to wear these shoes.
Tatum's being more of a George in this
yeah,
scenario.
Yeah, he's stealing it.
He is.
George likes chicken spicy.
He kind of is. Now, you also think, and this is a good conspiracy earlier.
Yeah.
You think Tatum is usually not authentic in some of his like turns of phrase, and you think he stole even the
I think he stole something.
People
I think
can
swearing.
F off thing.
Yes, I think he did. So he, after they won the finals, I feel like there was a whole bunch of them. Like, you know, the Kevin Garnett one, like anything is possible. Like, each time he was doing like an interview, like right after the game, you're like, I think that's from something. Like, oh, wait a minute. Like, that's also from a guy who won a title. I think LeBron said that. It's like, oh, did Kobe say that? Like, all these different ones. And then, so making the rounds from the other night was Anthony Edwards was asked after one of the Timberwolves games. He was sitting in his locker. And talk about a guy who, like, really is just himself.
Edwards.
Anthony Edwards.
Authentic.
Very authentic.
Yeah.
And so he was sitting there. I think he had, like, no shirt on. He's, like, sitting down. The media's all around him. And they're like, what would you say to somebody that says you take too many threes? He was like, F them. And everybody laughed. Everybody thought it was hilarious. And, like,
it is.
We all moved on. And then I really don't think it's a coincidence that 2 days later, Jason Tatum, when trying to answer one of these questions, like, inserts
F
a little cuss word
now,
in there.
I will say he curses, but he's not typically saying F you.
Right.
Or he'll curse again later on that you'll hear. It's usually like a throwaway F bomb.
Yeah.
He doesn't curse like that. So did he steal that? Is that another stolen thing he's doing?
I think maybe it
from
is.
Anthony Edwards. Okay, more Tatum.
One thing about Jason is, like, I'm always going to do what the I want to do.
Yeah.
And approach things how I want to approach it and what I feel is sincere to who I am as a person. And not that it comes from a bad place. Some people, you know, sometimes it comes from a good place and, you know, but people react differently, or it's easy to say, like, you know, if they were in my shoes, what they would do. So, you know, I appreciate when it comes from a good place, but like I said, I'm always going to react, respond, approach things the way I want to.
So that sounds
good.
The
way Jason wants to.
Yeah, the way Jason wants to.
Like, if you're going to do it all the time, why would you occasionally do third
I think
person?
I think the whole thing was in his head last night. Keith, I think he was uncomfortable.
Maybe.
I said this earlier. You know, sometimes you show up to vote and you accidentally high-five somebody.
But seriously, well, sometimes, that happens every 4 years, Jones.
Sometimes you go to shake hands and you grab somebody's wrist. Like, sometimes in a social situation, maybe you're a little uncomfortable.
Happened before.
And you refer to yourself in the third person. Like, that happens.
But also, I would just say consistency is key. And so if you're like, Jason wouldn't do this, but I would do this. Now, as a listener, I'm confused
in
as
the
hell.
Same answer. Who's Jason?
Who are you? Who's Jason?
Who's
What's your
me?
Name?
Who's I?
Is that the fourth person? What is this? Who are you talking to
so
right
that,
now? Who
that,
are you talking at? Is there a mirror
sounds
in
like
front
a,
of you?
It sounds like a good answer, though, to be like, yeah, I don't care about anything,
yeah, yeah.
And I just do what I want to do. Like, that sounds like
a
strong answer. Right.
Doesn't care about anything.
No, he is like the nihilist. That's true. We care about nothing. But it sounds like a good answer. I don't believe it. And I don't think he's believable with this. Like, if Jalen said it, I believe it more. If Anthony Edwards said it, I believe it more.
Yeah,
I don't believe it with this guy. So, more
no,
from Tatum.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse my language, but you just learn to not give a f-. Like, I'm very, you know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable with the things I've accomplished. I know who I am. And, you know, I'm comfortable with making my own decisions the way I want to make them and doing things the way I want to. You know, maybe when you're younger, you're very consumed or concerned with pleasing people that you don't know or things like that. And, you know, if I do things the way I want to do it, and I can live with the result or, in every situation. And, you know, that's where I'm at in my life.
Okay.
But, like, so not everything's in your control. Like, you not playing in the Olympics was not in your control.
Why?
It wasn't, like, doing what you're doing. Like, you were told not to play those games.
Yeah, why is it such a bad thing to just
say? It's okay to be mad about it.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's fine.
It bothers me. I'm one of the best players in the world. I should have played.
That you're fine with it,
right?
If you're fine with it, you know. But I'm saying, like, if we're taking
your
word for
it's weirder. You're claiming to be fine about it.
Like, you're good just sitting there and watching, like, Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards play over you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Drew Holiday and Derek White over you.
Correct. Derek White's getting more run in the Olympics than you. It's odd.
The whole thing's
very strange.
It's very.
It
strange.
Is kind of on brand with Tatum, though.
It is.
You know, these are kind of the things, and he even acknowledges it, and he's admitted before. He's very well aware of, like, what people say about him.
No,
he and Brown have had that sit down about it.
That's why I don't like that line there where he's like, yeah, you just learn not to give an F. It's like, did you? You said last year in the NBA Finals you paid attention to what people said about you on TV.
Yeah.
And then you came out and you said, what are they going to say now? And I mocked that at the time, but I do like that a little bit more. I like being a little more like, okay, bring it on. What are you going to say now? Steve Kerr, what are you going to say now? And I still think my big takeaway from last night is, as a fan, you hype the game up. In the media, we hype the game up. I think Tatum hyped it up, and I think his play reflected that. It was in his head. And he was timid and scared to start that game. He hasn't been timid and scared to start games this year. He's been dominant.
Yeah.
I think he looked out of sorts last night. He looked in his own head. And I think you got nothing out of that game. You didn't get the big Tatum individual performance. You didn't get a win, and you didn't get any clapping back at Steve Kerr.
You got nothing. It was the other way around. Steve Kerr had a great night. No, in many ways, it's kind of on brand for Tatum, where the whole playoff run, specifically the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, he was good. He wasn't the best player on the court for that team.
He was good.
They won.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they won the title.
Not great.
But you're like, that. Everyone's waiting for the Kobe moment, or they're waiting for the Jordan moment, or they're waiting for the even Durant moment, for God's sakes. And it wasn't really there. And I know he's had good playoff games. I get it. You can point to the game against the Bucks. You can point to the, 50-point game or 60-point game, whatever it was, against the Sixers. Like, he's had great games. But that playoff run was kind of like that, where you're like, all right, he's really good. You can sort of pencil him for, like, a certain metric. But is he the guy that's going to, like, rip your throat out? Probably not.
Let me ask you again. I asked you this earlier, but let's get the answer one more time. Who's a better player, Jason Tatum or Steph Curry?
Jason Tatum's a better player right now.
Agreed, right now. Yeah, not for their career, but right now, I'm taking Tatum over Curry in a vacuum. Yeah. Fourth quarter, who are you taking?
I would take Steph Curry.
I think that's a good way to summarize.
But I would also take Steph Curry, to be clear, over everybody in the fourth quarter.
But I just think that's a good way to kind of summarize Jason Tatum. It's like, he is a great player.
Yeah.
But now it's the end of the game. Do I want him over other players in the league? No. And I just think you can pencil in Tatum for 30, but you might get them all in the third quarter.
It's a big third quarter.
And in the fourth quarter, he might fall asleep on defense, and you may not get that. And he needs help. He got help last year from Jaylen Brown. But he didn't put that team on his back. I get everybody needs help, but some guys will take over at the end of games. Curry will take over at the end of games. And I think that all ties into our frustration with Tatum. Great player. He'll probably win the title again this year. He won it last year. But that is frustrating, and I wouldn't extrapolate it any more than last night. Last night was frustrating, and you got nothing out of it as a Celtics fan. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. I want to get back into Steve Kerr. Did he get in Tatum's head?
I don't give it a whole lot of thought other than, yeah, I didn't enjoy, not playing Jason against Serbia, not playing Joel against South Sudan. Those are not fun decisions, but our guys were all amazing. They committed to each other. They committed to winning the gold medal. They brought the gold home for their country. They all handled themselves with incredible dignity and class, and that's the real story.
Maybe the most unfortunate part of last night is you got to give it to Steve Kerr.
I would disagree that the real story is they brought the gold home. They're Team USA basketball. Yeah. They always win the gold, or they should always win the gold.
Yeah, the story is when they don't. That's
the
true.
The story is Jaylen Brown was left off the team and Jason Tatum didn't play two of the games.
I would say that's a factor, yeah.
But whatever, you can skip by it and say that.
I loved he had the little line in there about Embiid where he's like, I want to remind you guys it wasn't just Jason Tatum who I sat down.
Embiid missed one game.
It was also Joel Embiid, right. But right.
Just win the title? I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
No. We didn't.
Right.
Embiid play anyway.
Yeah, right. Embiid's probably like, I can't play two games in a row, coach. I need one of these off. Embiid. We just played 3 days ago. I can't play now.
Embiid needs the time off.
Yeah,
Embiid actually lobbied for that game off.
Yeah, probably.
Unlike Tatum. And so that's unfortunate because I don't want to give Kerr any credit, but Kerr had a good plan for Tatum early. He blitzed him. It threw Tatum off, and maybe Tatum already was thrown off. Ultimately, I think Mazzulla adjusted. Like, I don't think Mazzulla had a bad night. I think Mazzulla adjusted to what Kerr did, and he freed up Tatum. And Tatum got more open looks in the second half and specifically in the third quarter. So maybe Mazzulla was a little slow to react, but I don't think Mazzulla had a bad night.
No.
The Celtics shooting, they still took, 54 threes to 34 for Golden State?
Yeah.
That's flipped. You talked about the Warriors chasing
it's a new age.
The Celtics. The Warriors now are the team that's taking more twos and scoring in the paint, and the Celtics are the launching team. Yep. They're the Splash Brothers team.
Well, and the Warriors are really one guy. They're Steph Curry.
Correct.
And then 10 other guys that play that are all, decent, like average to good. And then you have Curry, whereas the Celtics, I know they didn't have one of their stars last night, but it's a different looking kind of form team. But yeah, this is kind of where, and you and I don't love Steve Kerr at all.
No.
But.
And I don't think he's a good coach, by the way, but I think last night he had a good, give it to Kerr. He had a good
night.
This
is also where you can prove it, right? Mm-hmm. So like Eric Spoelstra didn't get any credit when he won with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. But when all those guys left and they're still competitive,
point.
You're like, oh, he actually deserves more credit for that. And he actually is pretty good.
Right.
Steve Kerr coaching one all-star now instead of three Hall of Famers. Okay. Now it's like your opportunity to see
good point.
Coach
let me be consistent. I said I think the Warriors are a real contender in the West, which means this could have been a finals preview last night.
He's doing something right then.
Okay, so maybe I need to give Kerr more credit than I do, and I'm letting my own personal bias with him, which goes beyond where it goes with a lot of you, where you just don't like him because he benched Tatum, and now for some reason, oddly, you don't want to admit it anymore, that it was a revenge game and it bothered you and everything else. But I haven't liked Kerr for a long time. I thought he's overrated, but you're right. If the Warriors, at the end of the day, are a contending team, and they're going to make a deep run in the Western Conference Finals, maybe even all the way to the NBA Finals, I'll have to give Kerr
his due. What's your guess right now? How far do the Warriors go? I'll say second round.
I might say Western Conference Final only because do it this way.
Okay.
And I went in to last night very skeptical of Golden State. I knew their record, 6-1. I know they had the second best scoring differential in the NBA. I just looked at it and I was like, it's Curry and a bunch of guys I don't want. So how much can I believe in Golden State? And then I got about halfway through the second quarter last night, maybe even the end of the first quarter. And I'm like, oh, that's a good team. They're defending. They're deep. They move the ball. Guys are buying into their role. I don't think Klay Thompson really did at the end. Maybe Draymond doesn't totally.
No.
But Klay, I think Thompson's guys are buying
them
in
by the end.
But okay, ready? Yeah. Play this game. Best teams in the Western Conference. The Warriors and the Thunder in a 7-game series. Who are you taking? Golden State.
I'll take the Thunder.
I would take Golden State.
All right.
Minnesota. Or Golden State.
Minnesota.
So I think I would take Minnesota there too.
Yeah.
Phoenix?
Kind of a toss up.
I would take Golden State.
Yeah, maybe Golden State.
Are there any other teams you like? Dallas? Do you like Dallas?
I'll still take Denver over them.
I'm sorry, Denver, I should have asked. I would take Denver too. Yeah. So I would take Denver and Minnesota.
That's what I'm saying.
So I guess you're right. Second round.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got them to go
the same. I forgot about Denver. I was thinking about OKC.
No, but I feel they're a lot better than I thought going in. I was like, oh, they have a good record, but it's early and whatever, and it's just Curry and... No, but they're good. They're a pretty tough team. And the other thing too is, was it Ray on Twitter brought up that Peyton Pritchard got it kind of exposed
so there,
a bit.
There's two things I want to bring up from last night beyond Tatum and Kerr and everything else, and you can jump in. But yes, Ray tweeted this at me. Yeah. He always has a very nice way of tweeting.
A lot of caps and a lot of exclamation points.
Yeah, he said, Keith, help Jones out.
Yeah, I try to every day, 10-2.
And talk about how Pritchard getting exposed on defense last night. That's the real story. So I don't know if it's the real story, but I did feel this way watching it.
We're trying to figure out what the story is. Steve Kerr says it's winning a gold medal. We think it might be the Tatum thing. Now it could also be the Pritchard thing. What is the story?
It wasn't the real story, but last night is the first time I watched Pritchard this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, his size is a problem on defense. Because offensively, he missed some shots last night, but whatever, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
He still had 16 points and 3 threes. I didn't think Pritchard on the offensive end was a problem. On defense, it's the first time I watched him, and I said his size is a problem. That hadn't been exposed yet this year.
So I think this also, not to keep pumping up Steve Kerr, I think this also comes back to coaching, doesn't it? Where I feel like, anecdotally, I have to look up the stats, I feel like in a playoff series against Eric Spoelstra in Miami, I know he had that one game a couple of years ago where he was hot, but then I think they figured it out, and they went after him, they attacked him defensively, to the point where they had to like kind of pull his minutes and use
them. Play him off the floor, yeah.
So I feel like certain teams know what they're doing and can get him off the floor because they also know if you leave this guy hanging around, he's like an offensive spark. He's going to knock down threes. You got to just get him off the floor altogether. And some teams can do that. Steve Kerr, Spoelstra, maybe a couple others compared to other teams that are just so worried about Tatum and Brown that they don't even realize like, hey, maybe just take advantage of this guy being 6 feet tall or whatever and attack him.
The other thing I would point out, Keith, is you were on Namus Keita earlier in the week.
I love Keita.
And I kind of brushed it aside. I said, is he even in your playoff rotation? I doubt he's even in your playoff rotation.
Yes.
Even if you don't have Porzingis, I would still go Horford and Cornette. Like, that's still what I would do. Never mind if Porzingis is in there. And so you would have.
Yeah, I guess if you're 100% healthy, which you may never be,
right.
But if you are 100% healthy and you only want to play 8 guys. Maybe not, depending on the matchup. If you're going up against Joel Embiid or Giannis.
If you're 100% healthy, you're playing Porzingis, Horford, and I agree that's it. Maybe some spot minutes.
Yeah.
But if Porzingis is out, and who the hell knows we can play, I said earlier in the week I'd go
nice.
Horford, Cornette, and you're done. And I don't even love Cornette, but I'm like, Keita, please.
He's like, healthy, Time Lord light.
Yeah, you said that, and I poo-pooed that as well. Keita was really good
dunks,
last night.
Dude, some good dunks. Like, you know, good put. Like, that one off of the Hauser miss, he grabbed it, stuffed it down.
He had some swats.
Yeah, alley-oops. You can hoop him. First bucket.
I agree with Wiggy. Wiggy said this walking out. I agree with him. Stick to the dunks, though.
And anytime, I don't love him doing these little skyhooks. He had, like, a heat check at one point.
If you're 2 feet away, try to slam that home, and if you can't, don't shoot it.
He took a lot of shots.
That's what I would say with him.
But
But he was pretty good. I hate to fall into this trap because I did watch Celtics post game on NBC Sports Boston last night. It's like, oh, they lost. We hyped up the game. It's a big game. It's a revenge game. Blah blah blah. And then they're immediately but name is Kata, who's maybe the 11th or 12th guy. So I hate to pivot to that, but. Yeah. It looks like they might have a little something there.
I think they got a lot of something. Yeah. I think this guy's useful, especially in the regular season.
No!
I think you got to like what Kate is doing. That's a nice piece, and he is getting better. He played last year. Terp was in yesterday telling us about his plus-minus from a year ago and things like that. In the games that he played, he actually was more than serviceable. This year, because Porzingis is missing a big stretch of time, but he's already leapfrogged the Murder Cornet. Luke Cornett, useful enough player. But Kate is more useful. You're starting him right away. So, yeah, I think this guy is good. It's also a little bit of a throwback. He's like the one guy in the rotation that doesn't shoot threes. So that's a little bit different. But also if they use him as a guy that they can throw lobs to, I mean, a lot of the point guards that were here liked having Time Lord, like the one guy that wouldn't step outside the three-point line, but you get into the paint and then, throw him a lob and he'd put it down. And just another guy, because when you don't
Did you feel at all like they fell a little bit in love with the lob for him last night?
Kata?
It's like, guys, why are we running lob plays for Namus Kata? You have Tatum. Have other guys. So, I think they fell into it a little bit last night, but that's, that's a nitpick. That's a gripe.
Maybe a little bit strong. But I think he is it's almost like found gold. Yes. I know he was on the team last year, but, he's better this year. He's more useful. You didn't think you had a guy like that.
No, that's fair. How'd you feel about their defense last night? Because largely, I actually think they played pretty good defense last night. They gave up 118 points. That may sound weird. And Golden State shot well from three, 41%, 46% from two. I largely felt the Celtics actually played okay defense last night. I felt, especially early, that was a competitive game at both ends of the floor. Teams were digging in on defense. Situationally, though, I thought Tatum had a couple of horrible possessions in that fourth quarter.
I think wire to wire, you would grade it as solid, but there was just a few lapses. And lapses against the Celtics, they always make you pay. Warriors are still the same. And Buddy Hield's a marksman. That's one thing he's always been. He's a great shooter, shooting it great this year. And then obviously Curry. So if you leave those guys for a second, I think that's on you.
And Tatum left them both. He left Curry midway through the fourth quarter on the left wing. And in the final minute, 47 seconds or whatever it was,
yeah,
he had the breakdown with Hield on the right wing that made it a three-possession
game.
And
the frustrating one about that Tatum one where he left Hield is he didn't even truly double Curry.
No, he didn't, he didn't commit either way. He was in no man's land.
You shouldn't leave Hield or Curry regardless, but at least get in there.
If you're going to blitz somebody, blitz Curry.
Try to take a charge, do something. He just kind of walked away aimlessly. It was very strange.
So to me, that's fair. Tex, where was Drew Holiday? Drew Holiday did not have a good game last night.
No, he was pretty quiet.
I've seen a lot of criticism for Horford after that game.
I have no expectation for Horford. Yeah, if he just goes out there and makes a couple plays, I'm happy.
The only time I noticed Horford last night is when he was just doing his Al Horford, I'm a dirty player, but I'm going to stare at the ref and pretend I didn't do something dirty. I noticed that. That always bothers me with Horford.
Yeah.
But short of that, I didn't notice Horford much last night, good or bad. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Celtics. Revenge game for Jason Tatum. Did not go the way any of us expected it to. So more thoughts there. Plus, we have an emergency, Kiefer Madness.
Oh.
That comes your way next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams. I'm CEO and founder of Cosplayer Nation. We did a documentary all about cosplaying across America from Maine to Seattle to Whited, Puerto Rico. We've won 3 awards. We're practically compass to the cosplay community, as well as we interviewed the guy who coined the phrase cosplay from the 80s, Tokunishi Takahashi.
All right, welcome into an emergency madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We got
I don't think you play the long version of that enough.
I really don't.
I think I could listen to that.
Practically compass to the... Which we've discussed on the Dork Podcast for years. We don't even know what that means.
I'm
practically compass.
I'm unclear, yeah.
There's no actual definition of that. No, I have no idea what he's... what he's saying with that.
They did talk in the 80s, the guy who coined the phrase cosplay.
Yeah.
We've won 3 awards. We're practically compass to the cosplay community, as well as...
We're practically compass to the cosplay community. There's no translation to that.
No.
We have no idea.
No, there's not. What did he mean to say? Accomplished?
That's not fair. Ken Laird's in the Twitch chat. He asked if that was Shime. That is not... That was not Shime. That's not fair to him.
Let me hear it one more time.
That was Joshua Adams.
Are we sure?
Or who that was. You think this is Shime?
We've
won 3 awards. We're practically compass to the cosplay community, as well as we interviewed the guy who coined the phrase cosplay from the 80s.
From the 80s.
Tokunishi Takahashi.
Chris Bosh.
All right, maybe it's closer than I thought.
You know what? I was about to say, Keith, you're right. That's not Shime, but...
University of L. David Ortiz.
I was waiting for that one.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
You can catch all the ALCS. ALCS.
All right, maybe it's closer than I thought.
That might be Shime.
When you're right, you're right.
Ken Touche.
4 passes for 56.
There's so many of these. I gotta fight.
Enjoying yourself, feeling the flow. I like to keep the energy up. Yeah, I had a lot more fun than I expected to.
All right, let's go. Have you ever been to LaGuardia Airport, Joe?
LaGuardia Airport,
they say
yes,
it's
I have.
The Cadillac of airports.
I have. Apparently, it's picked up quite a bit. It's gotten quite nice.
It's gotten real nice.
They've done a lot of work there.
Oh, they've cleaned it up.
Because it was a dump when I've flown through there before, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't love it before, but let's find out what's going on now.
LaGuardia Airport's newly minted reputation as one of the best in the country took a hit earlier this week when this happened.
What happened, Jones, the sparkling new LaGuardia bit of a hit? Reputation's taking a hit.
Knowing it's Kiefer Madness, there's a few options. It could be some sort of critter running wild, but I'm going to guess...
A critter running wild, all right.
Something related to their restrooms. Something restroom related.
Feces related.
An exploding toilet, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
LaGuardia Airport's newly minted reputation as one of the best in the country took a hit earlier this week when this happened.
It's a TikTok video. People screaming, looking up to see a critter.
Yes,
it is,
Liz,
a critter.
That was a raccoon falling from the ceiling.
That's right, Liz.
That's right, Liz.
Raccoon falling.
Your eyes
from
are
the ceiling.
Still working, you old bag.
That's right. Trash panda coming down from the sky. Yeah, you're just sitting there waiting for your flight, which is probably delayed.
Yeah.
And over, it's like kind of what we have in this room here with the panels in the ceiling.
Oh, wow. They went all out at LaGuardia.
Full drop ceiling in that place.
Wow, it's like the Taj Mahal, apparently, at LaGuardia, if it's like these things.
Then here comes John McCain from Die Hard propelling down. It's a raccoon.
Can I, maybe this will get answered in the news story. I've not heard this, but is it daylight? Is it at night? Is this a raccoon that's out during the day?
I think it was daytime.
Oh, boy.
I believe it was daytime.
You don't want that.
Rabbit, you think?
Well,
maybe lost in there. He has no idea. He's lost track of time, right?
Plus, it's daylight savings time.
Yeah, he's like, I was supposed to be on the 10 a.m. to Vegas. And I have a layover.
That's a good point. Yeah. Now you got me there.
Yes, Liz, that was a raccoon falling from the ceiling near a Spirit Airlines gate. This all happened Monday morning.
Like, don't get me started on the Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, it would be Spirit Airlines.
I would rather fly with a raccoon than the 2 manatees that were next to me on my trip from Vegas. I would much rather fly with a raccoon.
Yeah, no, you don't.
That would be, honestly,
you
that would
don't
be...
want to do any shaming, but they were manatees.
No.
They were
just
human manatees.
Correct. We're on the radio. I'm painting the picture.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
need to know who
yeah,
I was
you
referring
wanna,
to.
You want to give them a verbal, painted picture.
Two
so you can picture
I came shuffling down the aisles. Both sat next to me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. If
dribble, 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 fat.
If I had a raccoon in my lap for the whole flight, Spirit, that might as well be first class on Spirit. Spirit is a tough ride.
Yeah.
If they want to sponsor the Kiefer Madness, I'm all ears for that. But holy mackerel.
Yeah, sponsorship opportunities are available.
There's not many things I'm as passionate about as don't fly Spirit.
Again, since you're so good at painting a verbal picture or a mental image, rather, how big is this raccoon? Because they can get very chunky.
Yeah, this one wasn't like a thick raccoon.
Again, I don't want to shame.
Was he eating grapes?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Don't get me down that rabbit hole again.
Yeah. That is Billy said this. That is adorable, by the way. This is an adorable thing to watch.
They got these little mitts, right? Yeah. And they can just
they're very protective of them if you reach for those.
Oh,
grapes.
Don't reach for them. Those are their grapes. Yeah, you reach for their grapes, they can like put their arms around them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like they don't bite or anything.
They're not going to like lose a digit.
No.
Okay, good.
They cover them with their little hands.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we did that raccoon story. We talked about the guy that was feeding them hot dogs, and then there was 1,000 of them. They're like, hey, got any more of them hot dogs?
Hey, old man, hot dogs?
They can run from 7.7 pounds as an adult all the way up to 20.
Yeah, so where was it on the scale?
I think
closer
it was
to the 7?
Eh, it's probably like a 12-pounder.
Okay, right.
Just from the naked eye.
Right square in the middle.
I'd say it was a 12-pound raccoon.
Ballpark, it's a good 12, 13-pound raccoon.
Fallen from the ceiling at LaGuardia Airport.
Got it.
Yes, Liz, that was a raccoon falling from the ceiling near a Spirit Airlines gate. This all happened Monday morning, and eyewitnesses, the animal then ran around indoors before workers managed to shoo it outside.
Yeah, shoo it outside.
They did.
Shoot it. Imagine if you're like in the airport, they shoot it. Like, what are we doing? How do you have that?
A raccoon running loose in the Spirit terminal. We're shooting at him.
They shoot it outside.
That was the best they could do.
You get him outside.
Just chasing him around the terminal until they got him near a door.
All right, big brains. What would you do with it?
How many ways in and out are there from a terminal? Not many.
Oh, tons.
You run them all the way through the security line and everything else?
If you're the size of a raccoon, you have the climbing ability of a raccoon, I would say there's a lot of ways.
I think you catch him. That's what you get.
In what?
You don't shoot. There's luggage everywhere, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Suitcases.
Jump into this bag.
Bags. Yeah. You throw a hot dog. What do you mean?
Throw
a hot dog in a bag. I'm sorry, miss.
Of grapes.
I'm sorry, miss.
Yeah.
Your Gucci suitcase here. I'm sorry. We're going to throw a hot dog in here.
Out.
Yeah. Throw your underwear everywhere. Yeah. Let me put these over here. Throw these everywhere. Hot dog in there. Catch the raccoon. No. Zip it up. Lock. Boom. Done.
All right. You got a plan.
Yeah.
Spirit Airlines says it's working with a professional wildlife control company to make sure their raccoon problem.
This guy drunk now?
What happened to him? Yeah, I agree. What did happen?
He had a couple of Bloody Marys in the morning.
Spirit Airlines says it's working with a professional wildlife control company to make sure their raccoon problem does not return.
Okay.
I think he's also had a problem with Spirit Airlines. He was doing a voice. He was doing a voice for the representatives of Spirit. Yeah. He's also had that cross-country flight.
He's had a bad interaction.
Yeah, he does sound a little bit like Joshua Adams.
He does sound a little bit like Joshua Adams / Sean.
I'm CEO and founder of Cosplayer Nation.
Oops.
Hold on a second. Is that a raccoon chirp?
Spirit Airlines says it's working with a professional wildlife control company to make sure their raccoon problem does not return.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You know, I had a raccoon in my ceiling once.
Careful, bud.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where you're going to go.
He doesn't like Liz, though. He steamrolled right past Liz.
No, he's not a fan.
Can you imagine? He's like, I had a raccoon in my ceiling.
I had one once.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I had a raccoon in my ceiling once. It was not a pleasant experience.
That's what they all say. Yeah, that's it. That's the story.
That's it. All you got there? Raccoon was living in your house? What kind of home do you keep? What's going on in your house?
Not good.
You know, I had a raccoon in my ceiling once. It was not a pleasant experience.
For the same price of extra legroom, you can always...
Who's this guy?
I hope the raccoon's okay. Maybe they gave it a name or something.
Hi, Liz.
Okay. There's an election night desk with like 15 people at it.
No, that's that guy who's like waiting to tell you it's going to rain tomorrow. And he's like, I got a couple thoughts on this raccoon story.
Classic sports guy at the end of
the
table.
Yeah, legroom joke. They're like, Crazy Dave's here to make a joke.
By the way, the Knicks lost in overtime. But let me give you a real quick take on the raccoons. She's like, we don't want this. The lady goes, she went from, I hope the raccoon's okay, to, do you think they gave it a name?
Yeah,
they named it. And then they euthanized it like Peanut the Squirrel. Took it right down.
Now, this is New York.
Yeah, well, LaGuardia.
You know what I'm saying? But my point is, a lot of times when we hear this bad banter on this, you know, local news.
Yeah, ABC, ABC
Bismarck,
7.
North Dakota, and things like this. This is New York.
ABC New York.
This is pretty much, outside of going national, this is as high as you can get, and this is what you get.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Pretty good little story, though. Yeah.
LaGuardia Airport's newly minted reputation as one of the best in the country took a hit earlier this week when this happened.
All right.
It's also happened to me.
There you go. Yeah.
I lived with raccoons for many years in my home. Okay.
You know, I had a raccoon in my ceiling once. It was not a pleasant experience.
For the same price of extra legroom, you can always...
Maybe they gave it a name or something.
Guy was waiting for that legroom joke the whole time. He's like, come on. Wrap it up so I can do my legroom joke.
Too much B-roll. Oh, God, he's telling the story about the raccoon in his house again.
Guys, Spirit Airlines, right? Like, all right, bud. Let's move along. What did the Rangers do last night?
Yeah. Seriously. Okay, well, I did narrow it down. My official guess, I guess, was incorrect.
Double raccoons. No, you were kind of right. Yeah, critters.
Well,
you thought a toilet
that was like an honorable mention. Yeah, I thought it was going to be feces related. That's where I was guessing that was going.
Sorry. Okay. We'll get there.
But look, how much? Think of the strides LaGuardia's made to now, like, a raccoon running around in there. A wild critter running around in LaGuardia is now news.
Tonight, a man's desperate search for his beloved pet raccoon.
Well, we did that one a while ago.
I was going to say, years ago. The most recent one we had is the lady
fed too many of them.
That's what it was.
Yeah, she fed way too many of them.
Her home had been overrun by them.
Correct.
To the point where the neighbors are like, this is a bit much.
There's too many.
Okay.
Yep.
That was an emergency Keep from Madness.
Had to do it.
We had to get that in. When you got stories like this, you got to get to them. 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the Patriots.
All right.
Very, very noteworthy team. Not according to Andrew Raycroft earlier today, but
No one's paying attention to him, he says.
Patriots wide receiver problems continue, and Mike Onwenu has weighed in on the weird offensive line combinations. We can get to all that with the Pats next.